Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is discussing our Mishnah and what the meaning of the word pasul means in our Mishnah. Shmuel made a statement at the beginning of the Gemara yesterday, which is that when it said pasul in the Mishnah, it meant that the pasar was pasul, but as far as the balim are concerned, that the kapara is successful. And so when you do matnot dam in the wrong place on the mizbeach, and the possibility, if you did the matnot dam in the wrong place completely, that we saw the Baal HaTosafot discuss yesterday, how far does Shmuel's statement go? But what Shmuel, in essence, is saying is that when you put something in the wrong place, consider it as if you put it in the right place, and therefore you accomplish your kapara, but nevertheless, the basar is pasul. We ran into a problem based on the Mishnah later on, which suggests that in a situation like this, that the Kohen should go back and redo the matnot dam, instead of saying that it was kapara accomplished, we're done. It says, do it over again. Repeat whatever was done before. And we asked, how is Shmuel going to reconcile between that Mishnah further on and the Mishnah over here where he says that the kapara is successful? So the differentiation that he made was that our Mishnah is talking about, speaking about when a kasher, someone who was properly empowered to do the avodah and the mikdash, did the avodah, and that's why the kapara is successful. Whereas the case in that Mishnah further on is a case where a pasul does the avoda. And since it was someone who's pasul, he can't have the impact that a person who is kasher has on the dam. And that's from a number of perspectives, one of which is that his machshava will have no impact over here because he is disqualified from doing the avoda. Just like he's disqualified from the avoda, so too he's disqualified from having a machshava posalet. And that's why that case there was a failure or complete failure in bringing the korban. And that's why if the kohen goes back and takes the dam and redoes it, it'll be fine. Whereas in our Mishnah, you have a successful accomplishment of the avoda by the kohen, even though it wasn't appropriate or the right way we wanted it. Nevertheless, it accomplishes the kapara that we wanted. And then the Gemara asked from further on, which is about machshava. And here we're going to enter into the world of pigul, which will continue to the end of today's daf, and then the next number of daf, regards to pigul. We asked about chishev. Person has a machshavah about placing the dam in the wrong location. How does that impact on the korban? Chishev litenet nitanim lamala lamato lamato lamalo la'altar. If he has in mind to do that immediately, kasher has no impact on the korban at all. And then, if he has a machshavet chutzim kamo or chutzlizmano, they will be impactful on the korban. The other hand, if he has a machshava to do this lamachar, he intends to do this tomorrow, which is the equivalent of chutzlis mano, but he's doing the dam in the wrong location, that is pasul. Doesn't successfully get you to pigul, but it still makes the korban pasul. And that is what the Gemara was trying to determine or understand according to Shmuel, who says when you put it in the wrong place, it's as if you put it in the right place. Then why isn't the machshava chutzlis mano basically your classic case of pigul, where he's trying to put the dam at the wrong time on the mizbeach? That's pigul. Why, if you mix it up and say, I'm going to put that which is down below above, or vice versa, why does that spoil the korban, but not make it into pigul? And if you tell me it does somehow spoil the korban, then why is it in the case where you do it la'altar? You do it immediately, is it kasher? So that's how we ended off the Gemara, which was Amar Mazutra, Zrika de Sharia Basar Bachila, Maita Lidei Pigul. If your Zrika is successful at allowing the Basar to become now edible, whether that means for the Mizbeach or for the Kohanim, but it's Matir the Basar, that's Maita Lidei Pigul. Then that type of Zrika can generate a problem of Pigul. Zrika de Lo Sharia Basar Bachila, on the other hand, Zrika that does not successfully allow the basar to be eaten, lo maitzeh lidei pigul. That is not successful at bringing the item to pigul. And that's exactly what we have here. Since in the end, according to Shmuel, when you do the zrika tadam, you are only successful at gaining kapara, not successful at allowing the basar to be eaten, then you have a failure in making a zrika that will permit the basar b'achila. And that failure also makes it that it will not generate pigul. Then Amar Le Rav Ashi the Marzutra Minalochaha. Where do you know that from? Tivichtiv, because the pasuk says Im Ha'achol Ye Achel Mibzar Zevach Shlamav Pigul Iye. So he quotes the pasuk, which we're going to again spend more time on in the upcoming dapim, which is the which is the source for pigul in the Torah. And within that pasuk, he says, if he eats from the basar of the shlamim, pigul yeh. That's considered to be pigul. Mi, shipigulo, garam lo. Something that the pigul causes the problem. Yetzazeh, she'ein pigul garam lo. This is excluded because the pigul is not the generator of the problem. El isur davar acher garam lo. But some other isur generated the problem. The drasha in the pasuk is not clear at all. Rashi seems to focus on the latter part of the pasuk, which says that pigul yeh, ma nefesh ochelet amono yisa. That the person who eats or consumes such a korban will then be subject to karet, so that the person who consumes of it will carry that burden of karet. And that seems to be that only if it is pigul yeh, then a nefesh ochelet amono yisa. But if there's any other problem there, then the latter part of the pasuk is not applicable. The latter part of the pasuk is only applicable when it's pigul yeh, when the only problem is pigul. So only when it's pigul yeh, solely pigul, bahaviyato pigul, then it would be subject to the latter part of the pasuk, the punishment of ochel mimenu abuna tisa. If there's another problem, then that latter part of the pasuk is not applicable. So first of all, Tosfot over here says, Vim tomar, the Gemara later on learns from Lo Yechashev Lomar Shemachshavot Motziot Zo Mizo, that one machshava puzpotzel another machshava. Typically Miocha, you can learn it from here. So later on, the Bali Tosfot articulate this much better as to what the din of Marzutra is, and in that they find a little differentiation, which is why we need two limudim. He says Mashma from the limud here of Marzutra, you would have thought Ilo Avia Machshava. Without the machshava of chutzas mano over here, the nitinat adam, the zrikat adam, would have been perfectly fine and generated a korban where the basar can be eaten. Yotzazeh. So you exclude the gezir, she'ein pigulo garamlo. That the pigul was not what caused the disqualification of here. Tafilo havia machshava. Even without that machshava, lo havia zrika malyoto. It wouldn't have been a full-fledged or proper zrika. Because the basar would never have become mutar ba'achila, irrespective of whether you had a machshava of chutz lizmano. And then he says, v'yesh lomar, so what you would have thought had you only had the pasuk here or the drasha here, and not the drasha of lo yechashev, the mishi pigulo garam lo mashma ba'ota avuda atzma. That in that same avuda, so meaning that the machshava chutz lizmano, you had it while you were doing zrika, then you would have to have a disqualified zrika, but disallow the chutz lizmano. So here in our scenario, where the zrikat adam is failing to bring you an achila, so it's a failure in the zrika because you did it in the wrong place, then you can't sit on top of that chutz lizmano or pigul on top of that. So had it been that the zrika would have been totally fine, then you could have a machshavah chutz lizmano. Aval, im shachat chatat shlo lishma. Now then, if you did a shkita and a chatat shlo lishma, which is pusel, over machshavah chutz l'mekamo, or yet another type of machshavah there, but dam kibel zarak chutz l'zmano, and then you mekabel the dam, or you did the zrika the dam chutz l'zmano, sagadat chamil, avi pigol. Maybe that should be pigol and have karet. Because over here, the machshavah that was problematic was not associated with the avoda where you had the machshavah of chutz l'zmano. Came in the boto avoda, the pigol lecha machshavah acheret. Since in the avoda where you made it pigul chutz lizmano, you had no other machshava and there was no psul there. Kamash malan, that's why you need the other limud of lo yechashev, that you can't have any other machshavit psul affect the item. Or inami, the other possibility might be in the order of how it's done. The way that our pasuk says is that the psul must happen before the pigul. That's what it sounds like from over here. If there's a psul that pre-exists the pigul or the machshavit chutz lizmano, it would be problematic. But if it happened after the machshavah chutz lizmano, maybe it would not be mafkia. And that's why you have kamash malan, lo yechashev, tells you that even if the psul or machshavah psul came after the machshavah pigul chutz lizmano, that would also undermine the machshavah pigul chutz lizmano. Or in essence, this is the din, which we'll get to in the upcoming tapim when we deal with pigul, which is that pigul only works when it's the sole problem with the korban. If there's any other problem with the korban, that would render it problematic, whether it's before that or after that machshava of the pigul, the korban is no longer considered to be pigul chutz lizmano or chayav karet, because you need karev mati rav kemitzvatan. You need the korban to be processed perfectly with the exception of the problem of chutz mano. If you have any other problem besides the problem of chutz mano, it'll be disqualified. And you'll learn that both from our pasuk over here and the limud over here, as well as lo yachashev that has later. But then the Tosfot asks about our Gemara. He says, how do you know that Hiksha Rabbeinu Chaim midei davar acher tiv? Where does it say that you can only have this machshava and no other machshava? How do you know that this is an exclusive type of machshava, and with any other type of problem, it would be disqualified? So he says, v'yesh lamar, the samicha kra lo yachashev. They're actually relying on the pasuk of lo yachashev, which is found in that same pasuk. Lo ye'irav bo machshavot acherot. You can't mix in other machshavot. Didn't I just prove to you you need both of them to teach you the din? It's a logical argument that a davar acher will cause a pasul and take it away from being pigol, because we see conceptually that one machshava undermines another machshava. So since lo yechashev tells you that one machshava undermines another machshava, so then in logically we can extend that or apply that to the limo that we have here in the beginning of the pasuk. Inami, or the other possibility, is krayatera kadarish halcha. Over here, they're dashing the excess language that is in the pasuk. And what you have to say here is the limud that is associated here is imachol yechel mibzar zevach shlamav. If you are capable, have the capacity to eat from this korban, had it not been for pigoya, had it not been for the machshevet pigol that you had over here, then it would be considered to be pigol. But if it's achol yachel is not available to you, irrespective of the pigol, or the pigol being the only problem here, then it would no longer be pigol, it would no longer result in a chiyuv karet. Where it says, ihachi ifsule nami lodi pasel, then why is it pasul at all? So if you're telling me that the machshava is meaningless, and therefore you can't generate pigol because it's a zrika that is a quasi-zrika, and the machshava is creating a problem over here, then why should it be pasul at all? The Gemara says, "Am Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak midei dehava a machshev dehinuach v'alib d'Rav Yehuda." No worse than a machshava of hanacha, according to Rav Yehuda. This is later on in the Masechta, where Rav Yehuda will suggest that if a person has a machshava of chutz lizmano, which we classically describe as person brings a korban with the intent to do some of the achilat mizbeach or the chelat adam outside of the time period that is allotted for that korban. That's chutz lizmano. What happens if the person intends to do nothing of that sort? Meaning not to eat it, not to put it on the mizbeach, not to do the zrikat adam, but just not to do anything, just to leave it past the time. Says, I'm going to leave the dam past the time that is allotted. Rav Yehuda believes that that is the equivalent of some type of chutz lizmano. It won't get you to the level of karet, but it will get you to a level of psul. And Rav Yehuda says, just like if you physically, b'maseh, left the dam past the time, korban would fail. So doing a machshava that attempts to do that will also cause a failure in the korban. Remember that with machshevet pigul, you never have to actually do it. It's all about what you thought to do, and we deem your machshava kemaseh. So you have to have a machshava about a maseh that would be a failing or catastrophic failure in the processing of the korban. That type of maseh, if you have a machshava about it, it's problematic. So Yehuda says, if you leave the dam, that's a failure in the korban. So now if you have machshava to leave the dam past the time, that's also considered to be a psul, and this is no worse than that. So that brings to a closure the questions that we had in Shmuel's position. Remember, Shmuel's position is premised on two things, because we're about to bring two other Amoraim that argue on that. But Shmuel's position is premised, number one, on the fact that our Mishnah, when it says pasul, means the basar is pasul, but the kapara is attained. And number two is that Shmuel believes that when you put it shalom bimkomo, it's kimkomo dummy. When it goes in the wrong place, it's as if in the right place. So just remember that no matter which position we're looking at here, you have to reconcile between four different items over here. The first of which is our Mishnah. What is meant when our Mishnah says pasul, and what is the scenario there? The second case is the Mishnah further on that says that you have the right to do it over again. What's the scenario there, and how is that differentiated from our Mishnah? The third scenario is the bright of Chishev Itena Titinim Lamala Lamata, Lamata Lamala La'alter Kasher, whereas if he does it, Lamachar it is Pasul Ve'Einbo Karet. So first of all, your opinion has to deal with all three of these, the two Mishnayot, as well as the Brayta. And then lastly, you have to deal with the Pasuk itself, or the Drosh that we have from the Pasuk, which is Venanit Tetiv Lachem al mizbeach lechaper, that I gave you this to be chaper, kevin sheyegi adam lizbeach nitkapru ba'alim, that you are successful at attaining kapara. So we had until now Shmuel's opinion that reconciled by saying, first of all, the pasul in our Mishnah means pasul the gabe basar, but in terms of kapara, you are successful. The second premise of Shmuel's position is that shalom bimkamos kimkamodomi. When you put it in the wrong place, it's as if you put it in the right place. That's why, first of all, you attain kapara over here. That's why our Mishnah says pasul is only the gabe de achila. But as far as the kapara is concerned, you are successful. And that's what the drasha of the pasuk means. You get on the mizbeach, you attain kapara, uniquely kapara, not a successful korban, but you do get your kapara. In order to then reconcile with the Mishnah further on, that says that you can do it over, he claimed that that Mishnah was speaking about psulim, that executed over there, and therefore their netina dam was completely meaningless in that context. And in addition, we indicated that not only is their action meaningless, any makshava that they have at that time will have no bearing on the case, because they are so disqualified that their makshava is meaningless in that context. As far as the braita that says about makshava, litain et mato lamala lamala lamato, if you do it out there, it's kasher, versus if you do it the machar, it's pasul, the ainbo karet. That's what we started today with Marzutra's statement that when you have a zrika that is successful at creating an achila, that will then have the ability to create pigul. And that's why in the case where you do have the makshava l'achar zman, it's not considered to be bigul, it's only pasul. And if it is not bigul, why is it pasul? That's associated with Rabbi Yehuda, who says that when you have a makshava hanacha, that's enough to be posel the korban. And similarly over here, here your makshava is enough of a makshava that would ruin the korban. If you left it, the chutz lizmano, it would be posel the korban. So too, when you have a makshava to leave it past that time, it would also be posel the korban. So that is a reconciliation of Shmuel's position. Now we have Rish Lakish's position, which does not argue fundamentally with Shmuel, but alters his understanding of the Mishnah. And that is Rish Lakish Amar, olam pasul means mamash. The Mishnah, when it says pasul, means pasul the gamre. It is totally invalid. That means that the korban, that it does not provide kapara, and obviously you can't eat the korban. The problem he now has is the pasuk says that when you put it on the mizbeach, you are successful, and it does provide kapara. And he also believes that when you put it, shalom bimkamo, kimkamo domi, when you put it in the wrong place, it's as if you put it in the right place. That means that Rish Lakish believes you do attain kapara over here, or in essence, he's saying that we're invoking the pasuk that says, "Vani netativ lachem al mizbeach lechaper, kevin sheyegi adam mizbeach nitkapru ba'alim." That you are successful when you put on the mizbeach and gaining kapara. How are you going to reconcile between the meaning of the pasuk and your view that shalom bimkamo is kimkamo dami and provides kapara versus the case of a mishnah where you're telling me it's pasul mamash? That's not a problem. Lo kasha, kan shenatan b'shtika, kan shenatan b'amira. Depends on what you did. If you simply put the dam in the wrong place, bishtika, without making any mention, without thinking anything, without articulating anything, then you have the result of what the pasuk says, which is, bidyavad, you attained kapara in this case. On the other hand, at the time when you're doing the matno dam in the wrong place, you have a machshava of chutz lizmano, and that you can see in Rashi, he says, "Matnita natani pasul benatan b'machshevet lechol basar chutz lizmano." The time of the zrikat adam, when you're doing it in the wrong location, lamalo instead of lamato, or lamata instead of lamalo, at that time you have a machshava to eat the basar chutz lizmano, which is a machshevet pigul. That is why the Mishnah says you are pasul. If you have a machshava of pigul, why isn't it a chayav karet? Why is it only pasul? That is because he subscribes to this drasha of Shmuel that we brought over here based on Marzutra, that only when the Zrikat Adam accomplishes an achila does the makshava have an impact of pigol, of chutz lizmano. Whereas if it does not create an achila, then it does not create a chutz lizmano. And you can see that in Od Gimel in the Shita Mekubetzet, where he's very explicit about understanding Rish Lakish's position, which is, v'lo kasha min hamikra. The pasuk's not a question, the mashma kimkomo dami. The pasuk makes it sound like when you do it in the wrong place, it's still okay. No, but matnita, namrinim pasul mamash. Because the Matnit and Mari, our mission is a case with Machshava Shinatan, B'machshevet Lechol Basar Chutz Lizmano. The mission is a case where he put it in the wrong place, but at that time he also had a Machshava to eat it outside of the allotted time. V'havya Machshava Lifsol Dimkmodami. It is a Machshava that is successful because it's Kimkomodami. Since you're putting the blood in the right place, the Korban is still, would have been or should have been a kosher Korban. For instance, if you didn't have the Machshava, you would have been successful at attaining Kapara. And that's why over there it becomes a Pasul de Gamre. Mikomokom, Eimbo Karet, there is no Karet over there, the Zrika de Loshayer Basar Bachila. This Zrika, independent of the Machshavet Pasul that you had over here, would not have attained a position where the Korban could have been eaten. Lo mighty the day pigul, and therefore it doesn't reach the level of pigul. And he says, kach shitat akuntras. He says, that's Rashi's view over here. And then he notes a difficulty in that explanation, which is that the reason we said over here that Shmuel believes the Korban is pasul and there is no pigul is because the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda says that it's no worse than laniach. It's no worse than machshava to leave it over, because if you left it over, it'd be pasul. But the problem here is that's just not true in our case. In our case, if you left over the basar, the korban would still be kasher. So why does your machshava of chutz lizmano have impact over here? And that's what he says. Baha, tenoka lechol basar chutz lizmano lo dak. In fact, that Rashi mentioned that the machshava, or the improper machshava he had here, was to leave over the basar chutz lizmano. He wasn't so careful. Daimei niecha basar the machar, even if you did a bit maseh, you left it until that time period, it would still be lo mitzala, korban bekach. The korban would not be pasul. So then why is a machshava about that make it pasul? And he says, v'omer Rabbeinu Peretz. He finally makes the answer with Rabbeinu Peretz, the ikal ukme machshava v'nat l'shpoch shirayim l'machar. It's a case where he intends to put the leftover dam onto the mizbeach, onto the eight tomorrow. V'afgav the shirayim lo ma'akve, even though shirayim are not ma'akid the kapara, that they maybe had a gzera there because of maybe leaving the blood over. Just like Rabbi Yehuda says, when you leave the blood over, it would be pasul. So too, when you have machshava to leave the blood over, it would be pasul. So too, when you have machshava to leave over the blood of the shirayim, even though that's not ma'akev the kapara, similar to what basar is not ma'akev the kapara, if you left it over, the korban would still be kasher. Nevertheless, maybe there's a gzera there, also the case where you leave over the dam. Because having a machshava about the dam itself wouldn't be possible here, because he believes that when you put it shelo bimkamo, it's kimkamo gami. So that's not a machshavet psul. So even if you left it that way, that machshava can't create the problem. So that's how the Shita Mikubetza enhances and explains this Shita of Rashi in the explanation of Reish Lakish's position. But then Reish Lakish is faced with the same challenges that Shmuel had, which is that he believes that when you put the dam in the wrong place, it's as if you put it in the right place, and you do attain kapara, with the exception of when you have a machshavet pigul during that period of time, then how does he deal with the Mishnah later on that says you can have a do-over, that you can go back at the Tam and Nefesh and redo it? And so that, the Gemara says, So the way he says, just go v'chule. Just like we asked all those questions on Shmuel's position before, you can ask those exact same questions on Reish Lakish's position. And so, we'll have to explain that Mishnah is a case where it was processed by Psulim. And then the question from the Braita about Kishev, the Dinah Titim, Lamala, Lamata, Lamata, Lamala, Altar Kasher, Lamachar is Pasul. And he'll give all the same answers that Shmuel gave in that situation. And the truth is, the use of the term Amira over here is very supportive of those Rishonim that believe whenever the Gemara says Machshova, in Kodashim, it doesn't literally mean thought, but rather it means articulation. Over here, the Gemara says it, Amirav, Chutz Lizmano. That'd be very supportive of that. But that's something that we discussed earlier in the Masechta, that many Rishonim believe, and we'll point out as we go along through the Masechta, the idea that Kodashim, when we speak about Machshava, really means Amira. Now we have a third opinion, which is Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Idi Bidi, Shnatan Bishtika. So Rabbi Yochanan avoids all the problems that Reish Lakish and Shmuel have by saying that when you put it in the wrong place, it is the wrong place, and you do not attain kapara. So then you no longer have a question about the Mishnah that tells you that you can do it over, because whatever you did in the first place wasn't meaningful. That's why you have to do it over. And the case of the machshava, where you have a machshava la'alter to put it in the wrong place, it's kasher, because that machshava is completely meaningless. Although you will have to explain, and it is a little difficult to explain, that why when you have a machshava the machar, and it's pasul, I spent time on that, and yesterday, bringing the shita mikubetzet, that tries to understand, according to one of such lovim kamo, how do you explain that braita? So you could reference back to that to understand how Rabbi Yochanan's position will fit into that braita. So as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, he eliminates all the problems because he says that it's just not a valid type of matnat dam. On the other hand, he has a problem with our Mishnah, which our Mishnah says pasul, but doesn't allow you a do-over. And that he explains in the following manner, v'adika dama nefesh, hadalika dama nefesh. The difference between what is said in our Mishnah and what is said in the Mishnah further on, where it allows a do-over, the do-over is because there was dama nefesh left. Since there was dama nefesh left, they had the ability to do a do-over. On the other hand, our Mishnah, which says pasul, there was no dama nefesh. Since there was no dama nefesh, he can't do a do-over. Then it's not, and our Mishnah says pasul vein bo karet. The case in our Mishnah is a pasul vein bo karet. Dishlam al reish lakish. For Reish Lakish, it makes sense. How do the tani pasul vein bo karet? Because the situation, the circumstance in the Mishnah, according to Reish Lakish, is a case where you put the blood in the wrong place, and at that time you have a machshava of chutz lizmano. So you would have thought maybe it's pigol. The Mishnah comes on to teach you, no, it's pasul vein bo karet. Similar to the braita that we brought, which explained by Mar Sutra says that when you have a machshava of chutz lizmano, it's only pigol if the korban is edible with the remainder of the actions, meaning that if you eliminated all the other actions, then this would be fine, which is what we saw in the Tosafot earlier. That's why there's no karet, but it is still pasul. El Rabbi Yochanan, my ein bo karet. Why does it need to say ein bo karet according to Rabbi Yochanan? There's nothing done. You did absolutely nothing. The whole korban was pasul because you put the dam in the wrong place. So why is there a psul vein bo karet? What would be the havamina to think there's karet over here? Kasha, that is a problem, a strong question against Rabbi Yochanan's position. Uder Shmuel, going to Shmuel, my ein bo karet. Again, why does the Mishnah have ein bo karet? Because for Shmuel, he says our Mishnah, when it says pasul, means the basar is pasul, but the kapara is attained. So if the kapara is attained, why would you think there should be karet over here? Why do you have to tell me ein bo karet? The pasul is only a pasul that you can't eat the basar. It's no pasul to the point where you would think that it would be chiyuv karet. Gemara says, hachi kamar, im natan b'machshava, if he did the matno dam with the machshava b'chut lizmano, meaning if the case of the Mishnah was the like what Reish Lakish says the case of the Mishnah is, then you would be pasul ve'ein bo karet. So he almost does a chesurei mechsira. It says that the end of the Mishnah is basically telling us what we saw in the Braita at the end of yesterday's daf, that if you have a machshev chutz lizmano, when you put the dam in the wrong place, that only makes it pasul, ve'ein bo karet, because of Mar Sutra's din, that you can only create pigul if the basar would have been otherwise mutar ba'achila. And so at the end of the Mishnah, he has that pasul ve'ein bo karet is a situation which mimics the scenario that was in the Braita, which is that you have a machshev of pigul when you do this in that manner. And as Rashi notes over here, that answer would not be sufficient for Rabbi Yochanan because of Rabbi Yochanan matzni shnui hafi. Rabbi Yochanan, you can't answer like we're answering on behalf of Shmuel over here. The kevin hashmin antana didan pasul, that our Mishnah, when it says pasul, means it's pasul because it's shalok bim komo dami. It's as if you put it nowhere. Lav kim komo pshita dimnotam machshava. If you put it on there with a machshava, lo havi a machshava. It's clearly not a machshava. Davi kilu not no other ritzpa. It's as if you put it on the ground, the lo karvo kol matirav, that you didn't put the korban on properly. If you drop the blood on the ground and say, I have a machshava to do it, chutz lizmano, of course it has no impact. So to hear, when you put on the mizbeach in the wrong place, that's no different than throwing it on the floor. And of course the machshava should have no impact. If that's the case, then why is there ein bo karet in the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yochanan? In its plain meaning, it doesn't need it. And even if you want to enhance it to explain it like Shmuel, that it has, yeah, if you have a machshava chutz lizmano, it's pasul vein bo karet, that's obvious, because for him, you didn't do anything that was proper zrikat adam, and therefore you can't have a machshava chutz lizmano in an avoda that was never accomplished, or where you never brought the rest of the korban properly. So in the end, you have basically two fundamental views about how to view these scenarios. One is Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Shelo bimkomo is literally lo bimkomo and doesn't count at all. And that's why all these other cases that we brought along, why you can redo it or you have to redo it, or in the case where you have a makshava about it, it's not meaningful at all because it's considered to be shelo bimkomo, and that's why the korban is kasher when you have a makshava about putting it in the wrong location. Our Mishnah, the reason he can't do a do-over is just because there's no Dama Nefesh available. On the other side, you have the view of Shmuel and Reish Lakish, which both believe that Shlo Bimkomo is Kim Komo Dami. And when you put it in the wrong place, the Pasuk tells you that the Mizbeach is Mechaper, despite the fact that it went into the wrong location. And therefore, they're going to have to explain the Mishnah later on as being with Psulim. And that's why they were disqualified and you have to do it over, because Kapara was not attained. The Mishnah about Machshava here, you're going to have to explain that the Machshava of Chutzlim Komo is not meaningful when you do it the altar, because of the fact that it's not Chutzlim Komo, because you're putting it in a place that will be Mechaper. And the case where it's Pasul Vein Bokaret is from Mar Sutra's Limud that Machshava Chutzlim Komo only creates Pigul when it otherwise would have been a successful Korban that ends up in an Achilah. And the Mishnah is where they argue what exactly is the scenario of the Mishnah, where Shmuel says that the snare of the Mishnah was pasul, means the achilah is pasul, but the kapara is attained. And in the end of the Mishnah, it has a case where, if you had makshevet chutz lizmano, it would be pasul legamre, and no karet. Whereas Reish Lakish thinks the whole Mishnah is talking about a case like that, where you had a makshevet chutz lizmano while you were doing the dam in the wrong place. And even though it was in the wrong place, for him it's considered to be like the right place, similar to Shmuel. And for that reason, that machshava has impact to make it pasul, but not karet, because again, of what we've been saying all along, that you need it to be a zrika that would have ended up in achilah, in order for that zrika to have a machshavet chutz lizmano, to be pigol with a few of karet. So the difference between Reish Lakish and Shmuel is simply how to interpret our Mishnah, but fundamentally they agreed that kapara is attained when you put the dam in the wrong place. And again, the machshava of chutz lizmano will have no impact. Machshavet chutz lizmano will be subject to the limud that since it wouldn't have been a kosher korban, chutz lizmano only makes it pasul like the hinuach of Rabbi Yehuda, but doesn't bring karet because of the drasha of Mar Zotra, that since it wasn't kosher achilah, you can't create pigul of chutz lizmano. Alright, so now the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Rabbi Yochanan, ish lo bimkomo lav kimkomo dami, if you believe when you put it in the wrong place, that's what it is, you're in the wrong place. And, lahavi, kinishpach menakli al ritzpa, ve'yasfenu. Why is that any different than what was described in the Mishnah, that when you have dam, and then it falls onto the floor, you can just then gather it up and continue on with the process? Because you had a proper kabbalat dam, so then afterwards, if it spills, all you have to do is gather the blood back and then continue on your way. So now, why can't you say the same thing over here? The Yochanan believes when you put it on the wrong place in the Mizbeach, it's as if you did nothing. But as if you did nothing, that's the equivalent of the blood spilling on the floor. So then go back, collect that blood off the Mizbeach, and then redo it in the right place from the blood that's on the Mizbeach now. Savalak Mandamar, lo yasvenu. He holds like the Mandamar that you don't pick it up. So Gemara says, the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Modim. Everybody agrees, Danim Lamalo, if you have Damim that should have ended up on the upper half of the Mizbeach, Shinitanam Lamalo, and you put them in the right place, Lamato, or they belonged on the lower half of the Mizbeach. And he did it mata, shalo kemitzvatan, but he did it improperly, lo yasfenu. Then you can't gather it up, you can't take it off the mizbeach. Lo nechleku, their machloket is only in, elo benitanim lamala, if you were supposed to put it above, shinitanan lamato, and then instead you put it down below, lamato, or it was supposed to be down below, shinitanan lamala, so there, this is where the machloket tanaim is. Shrabi Yossi omer, lo yasfenu. Biosi says, once it's on the Mizbeach, you can't get it off, you can't do a redo on it. Shimon Omer, ye asfenu. Rabbi Shimon says, you can redo it. And Mishnatenu, kedivrei Amar, lo yasfenu. And Rabbi Yochanan's gonna say, our Mishnah is like the Manda Amar, that you can't recollect it, or you can't redo it. And that's why, even though it's shelo bimkomo dami, it's as if you did it in the wrong place completely, it's as if you did nothing or spilled it on the floor. Nevertheless, there is an opinion, which we see here, that says you may not be osefit. You may not gather it in. And that's what the Mishnah is being authored by, or the position that the Mishnah is following, is lo yasfenu. And that would be Rabbi Yochanan's understanding here, why you can't just take it off the Mizbeach and redo it. It's only if it's spilled on the floor that you could pick it up. But once it hits the Mizbeach, it's out of contention for
use.
If you did something wrong with it, and something went wrong, but you put it in the right location in the Mizbeach where it's supposed to go, there the Mizbeach is successful at taking in that dam to not allow a redo. So you have certain cases when you're close enough to doing the right thing, then when you do it, it not only is improper and doesn't work, it's invalid, but it also then disqualifies your ability to do a redo in that case. So if you're so close to doing it right, that Mizbeach says, you got it close, but not enough, and so then you can't do a redo because you got it close enough to what you were supposed to do, but then you also don't get the valid outcome that you want because you did it wrong. You don't get kapara, you're not successful at doing anything. So that's what the statement of Rabbi Yochanan says here. If you put that which is supposed to be above, above, but you do it wrong, for whatever reason it's done in a way that's not going to allow the korban to be successful, that the Mizbeach is good enough to hold on to the dam to say you can't do a redo. On the other hand, you did it wrong, so you don't accomplish the kapara. On the other hand, if you put it down below, which is the wrong place, it's supposed to be above, you put it down below, you're so far away from doing the right thing, it's as if you did nothing. So that's the machloket. Is it really like you did nothing, and therefore, yes, Svenu, you can gather it up and redo it? Or you have the position of, Rabbi Yossi says, once you've done it, you're done and you can't redo it, even in a situation where you're a little bit farther away, you do it lamata instead of the malo. So Rabbi Yochanan says, it's just our mission is authored by that position, so therefore there's no question about taking off the Mizbeach and redoing it. And as Rashi points out over here, you cannot explain that the reason that Rabbi Yossi believes lo yasfenu is because he holds that shalom im komos kim komod ami, and that's why you can't take it off the Mizbeach, because Rashi says, dim kain ademifluge ba'asifa. If that was the case, why are they arguing about whether you can take the dam off the Mizbeach? Let them argue about whether you've got a successful kapara here. The fact that they're not arguing about the kapara shows you that they all believe the kapara failed. Well, the kapara failed, that means that you think shalobim kamo is lav kim kamo dami. And that's why there's a failure. Despite that failure, he still says lo yasfenu. And that's why it's a proof to Rabbi Yochanan Shita, or it's at least helpful to Rabbi Yochanan Shita if you explain the Mishnah based on this Tana of Rabbi Yossi, that even though you don't attain kapara and it's lav kim kamo dami, nevertheless, you're not allowed to take it off the Mizbeach, even though you could have picked it up from the floor. Rav Chisda Amar Rav Yime, Akol Modim, everybody agrees, Minitanim Lamata, Shinitanan Lamalo, those that are supposed to be put below, that if you put them above, Shalo Yasfenu, that you can't gather them up. B'choshekein, and certainly, Minitanim Lamalo, Shinitanan Lamato, if that which is supposed to be put above, you put below, Hoil B'damim El Yonim Lamata Hein Bain. So because anything that you sprinkle on the top of the Mizbeach will eventually drip down to the bottom of the Mizbeach. So therefore, when you put them in the wrong place, you are putting them in a place that the dam would have eventually ended up. And because of that, you're so close that you can't then take it off the Mizbeach in order to redo it. Once it reaches the Mizbeach, that's the end of the process. And you can't do any do-overs once you've reached the Mizbeach. That's already too far along, unless you can go back and get new dam and nefesh. That which is on the Mizbeach can't be peeled off and then done again. As Rashi explains, Akol Modim, that Ho Minitan Mizbeach Haro'oilo, Lo Vikinishbach HaRitzpa. Since they ended up on the right Mizbeach, it's not like it was spilled on the floor. The Kalte Mizbeach, the Mizbeach took it in, to absorbed it, quote unquote, Lafuke Mikla Zrika B'Makom Acher, did not allow you to do this a Zrika in any other location, meaning that you can't do a repeat or take the blood off, and then reuse it in that case. As opposed to the Ritzpa, which is not a meaningful act, and there you could pick up the dam and continue on with the process. Lo nechloku, ela benitanim lifnim, shenatanan bachutz, bachutz shenatanan lifnim. So whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that lo yasfenu is split up between the first case where you put it in the right place, shaloka mitzvato, everybody agrees there you can't do a redo. In the case where you put it up instead of down, or down instead of up, there, the machloket of Yossi and Rabbi Shimon exists. Avimi comes along and says, even in the case where you put it above instead of below, below instead of above, pasul, lo yasfenu, everybody agrees you can't collect it. Now, he makes the first statement, which is, if it was supposed to be below and you put it above, certainly there you can't do a redo, but especially then, in the case where you put that which is above below, you can't do a redo because the dam up the top would have ended up on the bottom anyway. So all of those are disqualified, invalid, but not only invalid, invalid to the point where you can't even redo the korban. No nechloku, where's the machloket Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon? That's in a case where you took that which was supposed to go into the echal, and you put it on the mizbeach of his own. Or bechutz, shenatanan lifnim. or that which is supposed to be on Mizbech HaChitzon, you put in Fnim. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, yes, Fenu. Rabbi Yossi says you can gather up the blood and redo it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo yes, Fenu. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says you can't gather it up and redo it. It'll actually turn out that there's a little bit of a quirky thing here, which is the Torah says that if you bring the dam of a chatat, a chitzona, bifnim, it's posel the korban. So even though it's posel the korban, over here, it seems that Rabbi Yossi says that you can go get that blood back and then redo it. So even though you did something wrong by bringing it into the Eichal and you might be in violation of a law, still you can take it off and then put on the Mizbech Chitzon, which will then be successful. And you can see that in the notes on the side that the Tzon Kodoshim says, Hi, Debechutz, Natan Bifnim, Hu Ta'ud Gomor. You can't say that. It's a complete mistake. De'eich Sheikh Lomar, yes, Fenu. How could you ever say that he could peel it off there? Look, Var Ifsalah called him a Zrika. Bifieto Le'eichal. It's already disqualified when it enters into the Eichal because of the Pasuk which says, Heim Ho Huva Dama Pnima. So that because the Pasuk says you can't bring in the Dam, and it's automatically Pasul once you bring the Dam in. So he says, V'tzarachiyun. How can you make any such statement here in the Gemara? There are those that try to answer that that's a unique din with Chatat, doesn't apply to other Korbanot, or they think of other ways to work around the problem, but certainly is a question about this position over here. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Afa Na Nami Tanina. We also have a Mishnah that's supportive of this view of Rabbi Yochanan, that even though it's called Shalom Bimkomo, it's not like putting on the Ritzpah. There is a Klitat HaMizbeach that renders it invalid at that point, and then you can't reuse it. And that's based on this Mishnah that we're going to see later on the Mesechta, which is Rabbi Yehuda Omer. The Pasuk of Zotarat HaOlah HiOlah LaMukdal HaMizbeach Kol HaLaylo. And from there, the Chachamim learn out that whatever is put onto the Mizbeach must remain there. Once it reaches the Mokdah, it stays on the Mizbeach Kol HaLaila. Mashallah, lo yereid. Once it's on, you don't take it off. Zot hi ha'olah. Three different words that all mean a mute. He, not something else. Zot, this, and not something else. Ha'olah, ve'olah, and nothing else. So, ha'reilu mi'utin. These are three mi'utin. Prat, they come to exclude the nishchata b'layla. Korban that was shechted at night, avoda is only kasher during the day, you did it at night instead. B'shenishpach dama, or you spilled the blood. B'sheyatza dama chutz leklayim, or the blood was taken outside of the azara, outside of the area that it is permitted to be in. Imalta, it goes up in the zbeach, teirei, you gotta bring it down. So we're gonna see here, we'll see later on in the Masechta as well, that the mizbeach has a certain power to be kolate. It has somewhat of a sanctuary power, which is that even if a korban that is pasul ends up on the Mizbeach, once it's on the Mizbeach, we don't take it off. So what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that that has a limitation to it. There's three mi'utim in the pasul, which here is talking about Zoti Ha'ola. They are three mi'utim here to exclude three cases where even if it goes on, that pasul is a problematic pasul to the point that we remove it from the Mizbeach. Those three instances are when you shecht it at night, you spill the dam, or it went outside of the area that it is allowed to be in. It sounds like from the pasuk, only an olak shera can go on the mizbeach and remain on the mizbeach. Minayin rabot shenishchata balayla, shenishdach mama, sheyatza dama chutz leklaim. How do I know that all these items that Rabbi Yehuda excluded, that if they end up on the mizbeach, you can keep them on the mizbeach, plus valan, that they... Basar, the Korban was left off the Mizbeach, something that was left over past the time that it was supposed to be. Vayotzei, something that leaves the area of the Azara. Vatamei, something that became Tamei. Shnishchat chutz lizmano. Pigul, something that if you had a makshevet chutz lizmano, or chutz lim komo. Vishikyu below psulim, or the Kabbalah was done by something that was pasul. Vizarku et dama, and they did the zrikat adam. Vanitanim lamala shenitanan lamato. Case where you're supposed to put on the upper half of the mizbeach, you put on the lower half of the mizbeach. Vanitanim lamato shenitanan lamalo. Those that were supposed to be on the bottom, you put up top. Vanitanim bifnim shenitanan bechutz. That was supposed to go in the eichal, you put on the mizbeach chitzon. Tanim bechutz, that was supposed to be on the mizbeach chitzon, shenitan bifnim. Va pesach vechatat shishachtan shelo lishman. And those we know from the first Mishnah, korbanot that are psulim, because you did the shechita shelo lishma. Minayin. How do I know that if any of these items end up in the Mizbeach, you don't take it down? Tamalomar, Torat, Ha'olah. Riba, Torachat, L'chol Ha'olim. There's a single din for anything that goes up to the Mizbeach, is that they all the same, Shimalu, lo yerdu. They go up, you don't bring them down. So he's darshaning from the Riboy of Torah that there's only a single din here. The din is, you go on the Mizbeach, you don't come back down. Just like a lot Sherah, it went up, it would not come down. Torah Chant, everything has the same rule. You have something that's problematic, and we had a list here of items or issues that can come up with a korban. All those korbanot, you're not allowed to put them on the Mizbeach, but if they end up on the Mizbeach, you do not take them back down. I would think that all these other items that are puseli korban would also have the same din, which is you put on the Mizbeach, you don't take it down. Roveya, and nearby is animal that bestiality was performed with, where you only have one aid and not two aidim. If you had two aidim, then the animal would be put to death, and so would the individual who performed the act. If you only have one aid, the animal becomes a sur to use hekdesh, but it's not a sur bahana, it doesn't subject to a death penalty. So hedyotot, lay people can use the animal like normal, just can't be put on the mizbeach because of the inappropriateness of what happened, and it's disqualified from the mizbeach. Mukseh is something that was designated as tikrovet avodah zarah. Nevad is an animal that was worshipped. Etnan is an animal that was used as compensation, remuneration for a zonah. A mechir is something that was used as remuneration for purchasing a dog or exchange in a barter transaction for a dog. Ve'akil ayim is a mixed breed. And then a treifa, obviously, is an animal who has a treifa that won't live out the next 12 months. Yotze Dofen was an animal born through a C-section, not a natural birth. All of those are disqualified for korbanot, but maybe like the other cases, once they get on the Mizbeach, they should not come down. Tamal Omar, Zot. There's a miut in the pasuk. Only these and not others. Amari to the rabot elu, olotziyat elu. How do you decide what is in each list? So you have all these psulim and you divided them up, said, oh, those that go up, fine. Those that go to the second list, those that go up, come back down. Where's the distinction? The items that are included are things where the disqualification is particularly associated with their status as hekdesh and happened in the processing of the hekdesh, as opposed to the other items of motzi aniyat elu shloya psulan bakodesh. The other items, their disqualification is created or precipitated, but had nothing to do with them being kodesh. Meaning that even if they were not hekdesh, and this happened before they were hekdesh, the animals would be disqualified when you try to be makdishit afterwards. It's a disqualification that's not particularly associated with the status of hekdesh. It's a problem, failure, or a problem that cannot be separated from the animal. It's an inherent disqualification of the animal, whereas if you have a disqualification that is uniquely associated with its status as hekdesh, and it's processing it as hekdesh, that's something that in malu lo yerdu. So for instance, when you put the damim in the wrong place, that is something that is uniquely associated with its status as being hekdesh. And that's why it's disqualified because of its status of hekdesh, and while it is hekdesh. And that's why those are kasherim, if they end up in the mizbeach, they are Torah tachat olah. Whereas those that come down are things that have nothing to do with hekdesh. They're psulim that are independent of their status as hekdesh. Rashi says it's uniquely associated with the mikdash, which is shibaul azara nifsilu. Only once they entered into the Azarah did the psul come about. That's Rashi's explanation, but if you look in the Shita Mukbetzet Ot Aleph over here, he rejects Rashi's explanation because of the fact that Rashi says it's something that happens in the Mikdash. So something that happens in the Mikdash is considered to be psul of a kodesh. Something that happens outside the Mikdash is not. He says you could have a case of Rovei or nearby in the Mikdash. So why is that considered to be psul of a kodesh? That's why we, when we formulated it, used a slightly more nuanced approach than Rashi, which is not something that happened in the Mikdash, but it's something that is uniquely associated with its status of being Hekdesh, or Kodesh. It's not a psul that is a universal psul, but rather a psul that's uniquely associated with its status of being Hekdesh. Something that would be otherwise problematic outside, irrespective of its status of being Kodesh, that's something that would then be a full disqualification and in Allah, Yerid. The Shita Mukbetzet brings an alternative, Feirush, which is the Chaynir Lefresh. Sheha Psulan Bekodesh. What does it mean, Psulan Bekodesh? Sheesh Hechsher Bemakom Acher Bekodesh. All of these items in other contexts are allowed to be used Bekodesh. And so therefore, only in this instance is it disqualified. It's not a complete disqualification because there are times where it can be used. As opposed to items where they are completely disqualified, and they can't be used in any context of Hekdesh. And he goes through how each of these psulim have a manifestation somewhere else where they are permitted or can be used b'kodesh. Tani miha. So now, what was the purpose of bringing this whole thing down? Is because anitanim lamato shenitanan lamalo olamalo shenitanan lamato. One of those items that's mentioned there as a disqualifying event, that is imalu lo yerdu, is when you put the dam in the wrong place. The lo polig Rabbi Yehuda. And yet, we don't find Rabbi Yehuda arguing in this case. My time, ma bishom dekalte mizbeach. Isn't it because the mizbeach now took it in, and now you can't do a do-over, you can't do a redo with it? Bishmamina lo yesfenu. From this, you see that you can't gather up the dam and then redo it. So in the list of the items that Rabbi Yehuda says are problematic, and if alu yerdu, he says, v'shenishpach dama, if the dam was spilled. Yet, in the list that Rabbi Shimon brings, he has nishpach dama, which is allowed to stay on the mizbeach emalu lo yerdu. But he also has in that list other items, including anitanim b'chutz, she netanan b'fnim, o she netanim b'fnim, she netanan b'chutz. Those also alu lo yerdu. So now, Rabbi Huda doesn't argue on that. He only argues on nishpach dama. There they argue about whether if it goes up, it comes down. But with regards to anitanim b'fnim, she netanan b'chutz, or vice versa, there he doesn't argue. So you see that everybody believes that there's a distinction between nitanim bifnim shnatan b'chutz versus that which has fallen on the ritzpah. So from there you see that it's not classified like nishpach dama al ritzpah. So you see from that, la mai taima, what's the reasoning there? Yehuda does not argue on that point. La mishum dekalte mizbeach. Because he believes the mizbeach has taken hold of it. And therefore, imalu lo yerdu. So then, from there, you could see that dam that goes on the mizbeach, you can't take it off afterwards because of the klita at the mizbeach. But then Rashi says, why don't you say the reason he thinks you don't have to take it down is because he thinks that when you put the blood in the wrong place, it's as if you put it in the right place. And that's why you don't take it off, or that's why you don't take it down, is because there was kapara associated over here, mishum de kipro. It's in a list or an enumeration here of things that were problematic. It's not in a list of things that were okay, and that's why they stay up. These are all things that were completely problematic. And as Rashi points out, the proof is from Rabbi Yehuda, who distinguishes between blood that fell on the floor versus blood that was supposed to go inside and then ended up on the outer mizbeach, or vice versa. He's the one we can prove that from. From Rabbi Shimon himself, you can't prove it, because Rabbi Shimon says even if it fell on the floor, you can imalu lo yerdu. So from that, you can't prove anything. That's a riboy from the pasuk. And therefore, for him, that's maybe the whole reason over here that it stays up. It may have nothing to do with kalitat ha-mizbeach. But for Rabbi Yehuda, who distinguishes between the nitanim lifnim shenetanan b'chutz, or vice versa, versus the case of where it fell on the floor, it's clear here the reasoning behind his position must be that kaltei mizbeach, the mizbeach took it on, and then that will explain above why you have an opinion that says lo yasfenu, that you can't take it off of it because of the fact that kaltei mizbeach. And even though Bali Tosfot point out, unlike Rashi, that Rabbi Yehuda really believes that anitanim shelo bimkomo is kimum komo domi, and so Tosfot gives one answer, which is like we saw yesterday in the Bali Tosfot in the din of Shmuel, that even if you believe that the anitanim shelo bimkomo is kimum komo, that's limited to lamala lamata or lamata lamala, but it's not true of bifnim and b'chutz. If you make that distinction, then you can understand. Rabbi Yehuda says shlomi u'kamos k'mukamos dami about above and below, but not about chutz and pnim. And the Shita Mikubetzet in Ot Tedvav actually says that's the ikar proof over here to the fact that even though everybody agrees when you take damim shenitanim b'chutz bifnim it's pasul, nevertheless when it ends up on the mizbeach over there, it's still imalu lo yerdu. That evidence shows you that even when there's a psul or something wrong, if it ends up in the mizbeach is kolletet. And that's the eager proof. The fact that this dam, despite the fact that it's problematic, when it goes in, it's niklat and lo yasfenu, that's the proof itself that it must be that Rabbi Yehuda holds there's a distinction between going on the mizbeach versus falling on the floor. Or you can say, when you're the Fereish, da'ay dekamer Rabbi Yehuda kim komodami, it's not in terms of you successfully attaining kapara, alini machshava daf gavi kim komo. Just in terms of your machshava, it's not considered to be shalo bim komo. And therefore, given the mania zrika alini nimalulo yerdus, since if you did it that way, it's enough that if it ends up in his back, we wouldn't take it down. It's enough to say that it's not considered shalobim kamo when you have a makshava to put the dam in that alternate location. Rabbi Lozer says that the mizbeach ha-pnimi functions the same way the mizbeach ha-chitzon is, which is something that is problematic that it ends up on it. Imalu lo yirdu, that has application not only by the mizbeach ha-chitzon, but also has implication by the mizbeach ha-pnimi. And even though the pasuk itself is specifically stated by the mizbeach ha-chitzon, nevertheless it has application to the mizbeach ha-pnimi. And even though that's not such a simple extrapolation, that just because the mizbeach ha-chitzon is successful, so too the mizbeach ha-pnimi should be successful, because the pasuk in the Torah in Parshat Tetzaveh makes specific reference that nothing is allowed on the mizbeach ha-zahav that is for it. Even if it's a kosher korban, it's not allowed to be placed on the mizbeach ha-zahav. So the Shita Mekubetzet said, and Odimo brings from Rav Shmuel Meivra the question, v'chi lo yafe koach machmat psulan ha-bekshirim lo mikadesh. How can it help out psulim if it can't even put on things that are kasher? V'yesh lamar, he brings one answer is, v'kro amayri l'chatchila al diavad yikadesh. Pasuk is speaking, l'chatchila, you can't put things on his mizbeach zahav. V'diavad, if it ends up there, it will be mikadesh shim alu lo yirdu. Or he gives even a bigger chiddush, which is otei ritzta, the mikadesh psulim. The fact that it's mikadesh psulim, lo linyan lo yirdu. Not if they're put on there, they don't take it down. They are taken down. The pasuk says, you gotta take them off, they don't belong there. But if they end up on the Mizbech Chitzon afterwards, then you don't have to take them off of there because they're already nitkadesh on the Mizbech Zahav. And then he brings the scenario dealing with the Kometz that wasn't put into a Kli Sharet. So therefore, if it ends up in the Mizbech Zahav, then it gains Kedusha enough so that if it's placed on the Mizbech Chitzon, then it wouldn't come down anymore. So that's the Chiddush that is being said here by Rabbi Lazar. Micah Mashmalon. What is he telling us? Tanina. That's the Mishnah. Hanitanim, Bifnim, those things, those that are put on the Mizbeach Chitzon, that are put on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, they are considered to be Pasul. Imahatam, over there, Havamino, Hane Mile Dam, Techazile. That's only true when you're dealing with Matnot Dam, that sometimes end up on the Mizbeach HaZahav. That Mizbeach HaZahav in general does not have Matnot Dam. Most of Matnot Dam are done on the Mizbeach Chitzon. There are unique cases where there are Matnot Dam on the Mizbeach HaZahav. So I would have thought the Mizbech HaZahav is successful at being Mikadesh items when we're speaking about items that the Mizbech HaZahav sometimes processes or sometimes has associated with it. So Matnot Dam, which sometimes, like on Yom Kippur, there's Matnot Dam on the Mizbech HaZahav. So then when I do it any other time, the Mizbech will be successful at being Mikadesh or being collated. So therefore, Imalu, Lo Yerdu. Once they go on the Mizbech, they're not going to come down. So now you would have thought as a havamina from the Mishnah that by Matnot Dam, that's true when Ma'alu Lo Yerdu, because Matnot Dam have an association with the Mizbeach HaZahav. On the other hand, about Kometz, the Lo Chazile, you speak about a Mincha, there's no Mincha that ever ends up on the Mizbeach HaZahav. All Menachot and the Kmitzot of those Menachot end up on the Mizbeach Chitzon. There's never, ever a time where a Mincha or a Kometz of Mincha will end up on the Mizbeach HaZahav. So aim alone. I would have thought then, Imalu Yerdu. If you end up in Mizbeach Zahav, you take it off because Mizbeach Zahav is not ever collate these types of things. So it never processes these things. It can only be collate something that it otherwise processes in other situations. So here it never processes a collate. Maybe it should have no impact. Kamash Malon, that's where Rabbi Lozer comes to teach you that the Mizbeach Zahav functions just like the Mizbeach Chitzon. Just like Mizbeach Chitzon, anything that goes up there doesn't come down as long as it meets the qualifications that we said before. So too, the Mizbeach HaZahav will be successful at being kolayt, imalu lo yirdu, even if it has no association with the Mizbeach HaZahav. Meitevei, is that really true? Ktoret zara, shalav legabei Mizbeach, terei. You put on a foreign toret, a toret that's not supposed to be there on the Mizbeach, you gotta take it down. Shein lecha mekadesh psulim, ela Mizbeach HaChitzon, bira'oi lo. Because the Mizbeach HaChitzon is only successful at being mekadesh things that are ra'oi for it. Ktoret in general goes on the Mizbeach HaZahav. And that is the Ktoret that's brought on the Mizbeach HaZahav every day. Now that Ktoret that's placed on the Mizbeach HaZahav is a Ktoret at Tzibur. There's no such thing as a Ktoret Nidava. There's no such thing as a Ktoret HaYachid that goes on the Mizbeach HaZahav. So now you bring a Ktoret Zara, you bring a foreign Ktoret over here, and you're putting it onto the Mizbeach HaZahav, then you have to take it down. where it says, Chitzon in, Pnimi lo. For what it sounds like in this Braita, the outer Mizbeach has this power, the Mizbeach Hazav, the inner Mizbeach does not have this power. So it sounds like here, in the Braita we're quoting, number one, the Mizbeach Chitzon is the only one that is successful at creating a kolate. And number two is, Biro'oi lo. It's gotta be something that normally ends up on there. But that would then disqualify the Mizbeach Pnimi from successfully being kolate to anything, or saying, Imalu lo yirdu, which would be a question on Rabbi Elazar's position. Tori Tzolchi, you have to explain the break this way. Ktoret Zara, shall tell Mizbeach HaChitzon. Ktoret Zara, by definition, any Ktoret that goes on Mizbeach HaChitzon is Zara, because there's never Ktoret placed on there. Teireid, you have to take it down. Shein Mizbeach HaChitzon, Mikadesh Psulim, Ela Ra'ui Lo. That's because Mizbeach HaChitzon only is collate things that would otherwise end up on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Ktoret never ends up on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, so then if you put a foreign Ktoret, a Ktoret that is quote-unquote Pasul on it, it's not going to help you that Imalu Lo Yerdu, because it never is all that there. There's nothing that ends up on that Mizbeach HaChitzon that's ever Ktoret. Vapnimi, Ben Ro'ilo, Ben Shanru Elo'ilo. And the inner Mizbeach doesn't matter. Whether it's something that's normally placed on it, something that's not normally placed on it, the Mizbeach Hapnimi, the Mizbeach Hazav is successful at being kolate, whatever it is, in Imalu Lo Yerdu. So that means the Mizbeach Hazav is more powerful than the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Mizbeach HaChitzon is only able to be Mikadesh and keep on it things that are Ro'oi to it. Mizbeach Zahav is successful at keeping anything that goes on to it. My daima, what's the difference between them? Why is the Mizbeach Zahav a stronger, more powerful kolate than the Mizbeach Chitzon? Hai Ritzpa, v'hai Kli Sharet. The difference is that the Mizbeach Chitzon is really made out of stone, an extension of the floor of the Mikdash, and therefore only functions like a Mizbeach Chitzon, which is the building or the structure that it is. Mizbeach Zahav is a Kli Sharet. It is a utensil of the Mikdash. It was anointed in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then continued to be used. So first of all, it has inherent Kiddushah to it. Number two is, like any other Kli Sharet, when you place something into a Kli Sharet, it's Mikdash, the item that is placed into it. So too, the Mizbeach Zahav will capture and be Mikdash, that which is placed onto it. For Rashi, it's uniquely associated with the Mizbeach Zahav, because that's still a kli that was functional in the time of Moshe and continued in the Mikdash. The Mizbeach HaChitzon in the Mikdash was totally different than that of Moshe Rabbeinu. The one of Moshe Rabbeinu is Mizbeach Nechoshet, which is Nignaz, versus the Mizbeach Avanim that is part of the Binyan HaMikdash. And so that way it's distinct and doesn't have the consecration that the Kli Sharet, or those utensils that were in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and still function as kelim in the time of the Mikdash have. And as Tosfos points out, it's even better than a Kli Sharet, because a deep Kli Sharet, the lo mekadesh psulim. The Kli Sharet is a mekadesh psulim, the karet umizbeach mekadesh. And that you could see even more explicitly in O Gimel of the Shittim Gometzet, apa gav darmin et Kli Sharet enu mekadesh ela hara uilo hachashayni debite karte. It has both benefits. It was mizbeach u Kli Sharet yukach mekadesh psulim li karet. Therefore it has this superpower to deal with things that he even not ra'oi to be on it. All right, we'll start the Mishnah, and then we'll continue with the Gemara tomorrow. Mishnah says, Hashochete de Zebach, and again, this is the type of Mishnah you might want to have seen a little earlier in the Masechta, which is, this is the Mishnah that is the fundamentals, the basic tenets of Pigul. And it tells you the information that we have been discussing all along. Just Hashochete de Zebach, Lizrok Damo Bichutz, person who shechs a korban in order or in having in mind to do zrikat adam outside of the area that is allotted, o miksa dano b'chutz, or a portion of the dam outside the area that it's supposed to be done in, laktirei murav b'chutz, or to put the fats on the mizbeach outside of the location where it's supposed to be done, o miksa de murav b'chutz, or a portion of the emurim to put them outside of the location that you're supposed to do, lechol basaro b'chutz, or to eat the basar outside of the area where it's permitted to be eaten, or even a kazayit of that basar outside of the location, or to eat a kazayit of the skin that is by the tail, which is softer skin, and is edible, and you don't have to do it outside of the location where it's permitted. This is what's otherwise known as makshevet chutz lemikomo, having a makshava outside the area where you normally would be permitted to do this. Pasul vein bo karet. That is the status of something that has a makshevet chutz lemikomo, is that it's disqualified, invalid, but ein bo karet. If one consumes it, There is no karet. Now, a reminder here with regards to this, this has nothing to do with what he does in the end. This is all what he's thinking, or maybe even articulating when he's doing the korban, and then he never has to actually carry it out. Even if he doesn't carry it out, the korban is still pasul, bevo karet. Now, the items that are mentioned here should ring a bell. The three things that were mentioned here were the zrika d'adam, emurim on the mizbeach, and the basar. If you remember earlier, we said that makshevet, echutzlum kamon, makshevet, echutzlum zmano, are only relevant about items that are achilat adam or achilat mizbeach. Something that the mizbeach takes in, or something that the adam eats. So the basar is the achilat adam, you had a makshev about achilat adam. The emurim are the achilat mizbeach, and that's why they're disqualified. The matnot dam, Rashi said earlier in the Masechta, is also included under achilat mizbeach, and that's why it's disqualified. The other Rishonim believe the Pasuk is speaking about Zrikat Adam. That's why Pigul is disqualified by Zrikat Adam. When you think about Zrikat Adam, because that's exactly what the Pasuk is speaking about. The action of Zrikat Adam. And that's the disqualifying event. It's different than the other two. Those are the three areas, number one, where you can have a disqualification. And number two is that it has to be done during an avoda. And they have to do it during Shkita and Zrika. There's a question as to whether it is successful, which we dealt with earlier in the Masechta, as to whether you can have a makshavet during Kabbalah, because the riboy from the Pasuk might only be about Shkita and Zrika, not about Kabbalat Adam. All right, but now, on the other hand, if he has a makshavet lizrok damo lamachar, to do Zrika Adam tomorrow, outside the time period where it's permitted, mix at damo lamachar, a portion of the blood to be sprinkled on the mizbeach outside of the allotted time, to put his emurim on the mizbeach tomorrow, which is again out of time. When you shech the korban and bring something in the mikdash, must be processed that day. Oh, mixat emurav l'machar, a portion of the emurim to put on the mizbeach tomorrow. Lechol b'saro l'machar, to eat from the basar tomorrow. This has to be speaking about not a shlamim. It has to be speaking about a todah or a kodshe kodoshim, because shlamim you can eat tomorrow, and that would not be a makshev l'chutz l'zmano. So machar o kzayit mipsaro l'machar, at least the kzayit of the basar you want to eat outside of the allotted time that is permitted. O lechol kzayit mior aliyah l'machar, or a kzayit of that skin that's near the area of the tail. Pigol, this is pigol, not the Torah's word pigol, but Chazal's word of pigol, which is machshevet chutz l'zmano, which results in chayiv in alav karet. That if you then consume such a korban, you will be chayav karet for doing having a machshevet chutz l'zmano. And these are what the Mishnah is describing, the basic cases of Makshevet Chutz L'Mkamo and Makshevet Chutz L'Zmano. And tomorrow, and the Gemara, will spend time on the source for this. And how do we know that this is true? So we're going to stop here by the Gemara on the bottom of Kav Zayin Amud Bet.